Hi, I'm glad you tuned in to the Mission Delray podcast. We're a spirit-filled, multicultural church based out of Delray Beach, South Florida. Now, if you'd like to find out more about the mission, Pastor Carl, and our vision, just go ahead and log on to www.themissiondelray.com.
Give it up for Pastor Melissa, everybody.
Amen. Give it up for Jesus. Give it up for Jesus one time. How about we stand up just one quick time and just shout to Jesus? Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. I believe hell does not like it when you do that. Hell does not like it when you do that, right? So I am excited to be here today. I'm so thankful to Pastor Carl and Tracy for having us. Pastor Tracy and I have had an opportunity to get together several times for lunch and that type of thing. I've really enjoyed getting to know them. And it is my honor, it is my privilege to be here this morning in this house and to serve you and to serve your pastors. And I'm believing that God has something specific for you. So I am asking you, just like he prayed, you know, we prayed that our ears would be open, but we can open our ears. You know, we pray that our eyes would be open, but we can open our eyes. And so let's do that. Let's get in a posture where we can receive from God. And so I thank you so much for praying for me. And I would ask you just to open up to Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to talk about something today, and I want to apologize in advance to the guys who run the screens because I'm going to jump around a little bit. But I think you're used to that, so Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. If you're there, say, I love Jesus. All right, that's not everybody. I'll give you another minute. I'm not there yet either. Okay. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, we could stay on that scripture all day long. There is so much in that verse that is that tells you about what this thing is. Now, for whatever reason, as Christians, we have a hard time. The devil resists us. He does not want us to understand what this word is. He does not want us to understand how alive and how powerful the words on the pages are. It's alive. That's the very first thing that it says. For the word of God is alive and powerful. How many of us know that not every living thing is powerful? This is alive and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we read this word, when we get into it today, when we study it on our own, and we should if we're not, but when we study it on our own, we have to believe that every single thing that we're reading, every single thing that we're taking in is life to us. That it is life on the inside of us, that it is coming through my eyes, through my brain, through my comprehension, through everything that God has given me up here to comprehend. And it is coming into my brain, it's coming into my soul, to my mind, and then it's going into my spirit. And it is becoming life to me. It is power and it is life on the inside of us. And then we go on and it says, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. How many of you know a little bit about the armor of God? Just a little bit about the armor of God. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have to be able to use the sword of the Spirit. We have to be able to know how to wield the sword of the Spirit if we're going to use it effectively. And that is what we are going to talk about today. See, we are a mature Christian. We are a mature user of the armor when we know how to use the sword. Any person can put the helmet on, right? I can confess with my heart and believe, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we can become saved, right? We can put on the rest of the armor, the shoes and the breastplate and all of that. But when we know how to use the sword, we are moving into maturity. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But just to go on in the scripture, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you have been praying, spending time with the Lord? You think God says something to you. You think he's saying something into your heart, but you're going, is that God or is that me? I've been a Christian a long time and that happens to me still. Is that God or is that me? Is that God or is that me? Is that just my mind? Is that just what I want? Is that what I think? The word of God pierces. It is a sword that will pierce. It will divide your soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions, you, and your spirit, which is alive to God. If you are wondering in prayer time, if you're wondering in your time with the Lord and when he speaks something to you or you think he speaks something to you, is that God or is it me? When you get into the word of God, when you spend time in these pages with these life-giving words, you will know, is it God or is it me? Because the sword pierces that, it divides that, and you'll be able to rightly discern, you will be able to rightly discern what God is saying to you. And so as we go on, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, division of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. You know what I love about the word of God? It touches our spirit, our soul, and our body. It touches our spirit. It is life to our spirit. It's power in our spirit. It touches our joints and our marrow. If you need physical healing, there is provision for that in the word of God. And it touches our soul, our mind, will, and our emotions. How many of you have ever needed some joy? And you have found it in the word of God. You have found it in the pages, right? It touches our spirit, it touches our soul, and it touches our body. Guys, this is such a powerful tool. Praying in tongues, very, very, very important thing. Praying in English, very, very important thing. Worshiping God, one of the most powerful things you can do. But the word of God will bring us stability. It will bring us maturity. It will give us the opportunity to bring all of those things together and use them so that we can be as effective as we can be. So you can be the missionaries to Del Rey that you are supposed to be, to Boca, to Boynton, to Broward, to the rest of the world, right? Right? Okay. So we know that the word of God, that it is alive and it is powerful and that it touches our entire body. But I want to show you an example of someone who used the word of God to resist the enemy. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, this is an example of Jesus, guys. And I know that we are, in our lives, we are resisting, we are battling. How many people are in a storm, in a battle, something going on in their life right now? You're resisting the enemy. Raise your hand. Every person in here almost is going through something where you are resisting the enemy, where you have a challenge on your hands, where you need power, you need life, you need equipment, you need the armor, you need to be able to use that armor as effectively as you possibly can. So Matthew chapter 4, now you guys know this guy and you probably know this story, but I'm going to read it to you. I'm not quite there yet. I need to turn over a page. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And I'm going to read a little bit more. And then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give you angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone.'" Now the devil knows the word of God too. If you notice, he said, "It is written." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Verse 8, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. What is the important point of this? Jesus didn't say, devil, you know, I've been fasting, I'm hungry, get out of here. I really would like it if you left right now. I really would like it if you would leave. He didn't even say, away with you. He did say that in the last interaction. But every single time he said, it is written. Why? Because the word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can do more to the devil than my opinion. It can do more on the attack of hell to resist the enemy in my life than my opinion. I could provide my opinion all day long to the forces of hell, and it will never be as powerful as the word of God. And Jesus knew that. John chapter 1 verse 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, meaning Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? He is the Word made flesh. And each and every single one of us need to know this Word like Jesus did. See, Jesus didn't say, when the devil came to him and said, we'll take the first one. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus did not respond with some random scripture that didn't even fit what the devil was saying. He knew what it said so he could respond appropriately. What I want to teach you today, what I want you to walk away with today, if you walk away with anything, is that you will eat this, that you will live this, that you will believe in the power that is on these pages, that you will look at the words differently, that you won't look at every A and the and the genealogies and all of that as just things that you have to get through, but that you will look at this book as chock full of power. Chock full of ability, chock full of potential to take you into the purposes and calling that God has for you. If you think that you're going to sail right into what God has for you without a few attacks, without a few battles, without a few things going on, then you are mistaken. And you need to understand what the Word of God says about you. You need to understand what the Word of God says about your situation so that you can apply it when the attack comes, and you can apply it in a way that is appropriate to the situation. Is anybody out there today? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what God is saying to you today? All right, so Jesus, using the Word of God, the Scripture, The Old Testament scripture, he was taking that and it was coming out of his mouth. And it wasn't like he was like, oh, wait, excuse me, wait, hang on, devil, I'm sorry, I think it's in here somewhere. The Bible says be instant. Timothy says that we have to be ready to preach instant, in season and out of season. And to do that, we have got to know what the Word of God says. And guys, when we know what the Word of God says, we become mature. The Bible says that we become established. And what happens with that is circumstances have this ability. Who has some circumstances going on? I'm raising my hand. But who has some circumstances going on? Circumstances have the ability to take us up and take us down, right? Emotionally and other ways. Doctrine, crazy teaching that's out there that you don't need to be listening to has the ability to take you side to side this way and drag you this way and drag you that way. So when we're not rooted, we're not established in the Word of God, we've got circumstances dragging us this way and that way. When we're listening to crazy teaching or maybe not even reading the Word of God, but just sort of seeing what's out there, it's dragging us this way, it's dragging us that way. And we have got to be rooted. We've got to be established in the Word of God. We have got to know what it says. And it has to come out of our mouth like that. Here is what I do. I'm just going to share with you my personal, this notebook here that I brought that I actually have some notes in. This is what I do almost every single day. I spend time with the Lord every single day, but in my time, I do different things. But I write the scripture. I take different topics. I take different areas. I take different things like wisdom, finances, healing, protection, purpose and calling, God's love for me, God's love for others. And I begin to pray that. And it sounds something like this. I just want to give you this example because I don't want you to walk away from this and not know what to do. I don't want you to walk away from this and not have something to apply. So I'm going to show you, if you can picture me in my living room or in my house, walking back and forth, praying. It sounds something like this. Father, I just thank you, Proverbs 1:5, that Ben and I, who is my husband, are wise people who will hear and increase learning. We are people of understanding who will attain wise counsel. I thank you, Father, Proverbs 1:7, that I know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I don't want to be a fool, God. I want to be someone who loves wisdom and instruction. I want to understand that. Father, I thank you, Proverbs 2:1. Father, I thank you, Proverbs 3:3. Father, I pray. And I go through that so that when the enemy comes and he says, you don't know what to do, I say, Father, I thank you, James chapter 1, that any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Any man, I'm qualified and so are you. That is what I'm talking about. Getting the word of God in you to establish you, to root you and ground you so you can go to higher levels of maturity, higher levels of stability, higher levels of effectiveness in this city, higher levels of effectiveness in this body, higher levels of effectiveness in your job and your purpose and your calling, whatever it is that God has called you to do. So what I was just sharing with you, I have found biblically. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to look at verse 5. We're really looking at the second half of the verse, but I'll read the whole thing. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, he himself, notice that those H's are capitalized. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? All right, so let's break that out just a little bit. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you know where that is found? Anybody know where that's found? Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. God is quoting the scripture. Oh, come on. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5 and other places, end of Deuteronomy and other places. But God is quoting the word of God. Come on. He says in Psalm that he exalts his word higher than his name. His covenant, what he is saying to you, his promises, his instruction, his righteousness, his correction, what he expresses to you in this book, he is quoting it back to us. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I shall not fear. What can man do to me? He has said it, guys. He put it out there, and we have got to declare it boldly. We have got to declare it boldly, and to declare it boldly, we have to know it. We have to know what it says. We have to commit ourselves to it. Job says, he says, I have esteemed your words more than necessary food. I have esteemed your word, and he's putting a premium on God's word. He is putting a premium on believing what the word of God says, taking it into his life more than food, more than hitting up the 99-cent menu at Wendy's or, you know, whatever it is that you eat, whatever it is that you like to eat. We have got to put a premium on God's word. I'm not sure you're getting this. I hope you are. I hope you are because it has changed my life. It has changed my walk with God. It has changed what I feel like God is, the effectiveness level, the level that I am at in my life and my walk with him. I feel like I have so much spirit and just awesome power in my life. And then I feel like I have this really solid, stable foundation of the word of God. And you need both. You need both. Unfortunately, as Christians, many times we're very big in one area, but we're very small in another. And if you know someone who, or I don't want to call out a person, but if you know something that is misshapen or misformed, that's a freak. I hate to say it, but you know what I'm saying? And as Christians, we get very big in this area, in one area, and we're yeah, in this area. And then we neglect the important things. So I want to go over this one more time. God has said his word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never, ever leave your side. So we can boldly declare in every area of our life that the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? That the word of God has got to be in you. It's got to be on the inside of you. You need to know where these things are located. You need to be instant. You need to be ready. Why? Because the attack of the enemy comes, and because things are growing worse and worse. I'm not sure if you guys realize it, but or have checked it out lately, but we are in perilous times. And the Bible says that crazy teaching, crazy doctrine, crazy unsound things are going to grow, are going to increase. And you need to know what the Word of God says, 2 Timothy 2:15, that you need to be diligent to present. You need to be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we need to think through that scripture. I need to be diligent. I need to be aggressive. I need to be committed to presenting myself, saying, God, I am present. I am here. And I have been diligent about the word of God. I know how to rightly divide it. And the next scripture, verse 16, says, but shun profane and idle babblings, false teaching. You have got to know the word of God. You have got to be diligent. You have to be aggressive. You have to be committed to the word of God so you can present yourself to him a worker that does not need to be ashamed. Why? Because you can rightly divide the word of truth. Right? And why? Why? Because of verse 16. You need to shun profane and idle. You need to shun false teaching. You need to be able to know what that is. You need to be able to know the difference. See, the thing about truth, the thing about the devil is he quoted the Bible back to Jesus, but he quoted it out of context. It was truth off by one degree. And as a Christian, as a missionary, as whatever it is you are doing in life, you need to know. You need to know what this says. Number one, so you can present yourself to God, able to divide the word of truth in your life. And so that you can be aware, you can be circumspect of what is happening in this crazy world, and you can shun, you can reject crazy stuff. You know, 10 years ago, I don't know that you could really talk about that side of it. Today, you got to talk about that side of it. You need to know that there are people out there profaning the name of God. Then in Jesus' name, in God's name, they are out there teaching all manner of crazy stuff. And the only way that we're going to be ready, that we're going to know how to use the sword is when we have been committed, aggressive, diligent to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? Amen. So, one more scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3. All right. I'm not sure how long I have. I'm sort of lost up here. Verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. You need to know doctrine. You need to know the doctrine of salvation. You need to know the doctrine of repentance. You need to know the doctrine of healing. You need to know the doctrine of a covenant. You need to know these things. So it's all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, in righteousness. Verse 17, and this is what I love. See, God always tells us something and then he gives us a promise. Who likes the promise? Who likes the promisor? Right? God, right? You know he is good for his promise. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God for all of those things, for correction. The Bible says that we are not to despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. You will find correction to your life and your lifestyle in this word. And you need it. It is good for you. You need to love it. You need to want it. You need to desire it. You need to open up this thing in the morning and you need to go, God, correct me. Correct me. Change me. Show me. Show me, God, what I need to do differently today. So here's the promise. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know a Christian on the planet who really wants to serve God with all their heart, with all their soul, who really wants to give their life for his kingdom that does not want to be equipped, ready for every good work. But we cannot be equipped, guys. We will not be equipped. Actually, the Bible does not discuss it any other way. Unless we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I believe we believe that. We know that the Holy Spirit spoke to a bunch of people and they wrote letters and it got canonized and now we have this nice book, right? But do we believe that it is for doctrine for me to know, not just for Pastor Carl to know, not just for Tracy to know, not just for Sergio to know, not just for Pastor Ben to know or me to know, so we can tell you? You need to know for yourself. You need to be able to, you don't let me talk you into this. Don't let Pastor Carl or somebody on TV or somebody's meeting that you go talk you into this. Why? Because someone else can talk you out. You need to know this because it is who you are, because the Holy Spirit has illuminated it on the inside of you. And that it is for doctrine for you to know. Reproof, which is also a form of correction, for you, not for Carl, not for me, not for Tracy, not for Ben, well, also for us, but for you. That it is correction for you. That is for instruction in righteousness for you. That you may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every. I believe that when it says every, I believe that's what it means. I don't believe that it means some. I don't believe that it means occasionally. I don't believe that it means, you know, optionally speaking. That I want to be equipped. I want to be ready. I want to be just for every good work. Amen? Tell you real quickly about Moses. And we'll turn there because it's important for you to see it. And I don't apologize, but I do have a different translation of the Bible. I have New King James. I know a lot of you guys have ESV. So I'll tell a little bit of the story. We'll read some of it. So Moses is saved from death by the king. He had told... Yeah, he basically wanted all the male Hebrew children killed, right? Anybody know the story? Raise your hand. And so Moses was saved. He was put into a basket. He was sent down the river. Pharaoh's daughter found him. He grows up. He's a Hebrew in Pharaoh's palace, right? And he kills an Egyptian one day because he sees an Egyptian oppressing the Israelite people. So he runs away. He goes and he lives at his father-in-law, or he goes and he finds somewhere to live, the priest of Midian. That man gives him a wife, and that becomes his father-in-law. He's living at his father-in-law's house, and he goes out. He takes his father-in-law's herd of flock, sheep, you know, whatever, and they go way out into the wilderness. And while he is out there, Moses has an experience with God. a very moving, powerful experience with God that throughout all the ages, we tell the story of Moses and the burning bush. How the bush wasn't burnt. The angel of the Lord appeared in the fire, right? And God basically tells Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses has excuses. He has problems. He tells God why he can't do it. And the third excuse, or the second excuse that he gives God, is, I am not an eloquent man. I'm slow of tongue. I stutter. I'm not a very good speaker. How am I going to go to Pharaoh? And so God actually gets mad at Moses. This is Exodus chapter 4. God actually gets mad at Moses. It says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against him because Moses had excuses. He didn't understand what God was saying. God was saying, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Moses did not understand the power in God's word. He did not believe God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And at the time, he didn't have a leather-bound King James Spirit-filled Life Bible where he could leaf through it and figure it out, right? Like you do. He didn't believe what God was saying. When God said, Moses, it's you, bro, come on, let's get out of here, let's go. He did not believe what Moses was saying. I mean, he didn't believe what God was saying. He didn't believe that he could be the person that God is choosing. And so he keeps going on this, Moses. I'm like, Moses, are you crazy? How could you argue with the Lord? But we've all done it. me included. So he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe what God is saying to him. And so finally God says, you know what? Your brother, Aaron, he's a Levite, correct? He will speak for you. He's going to be your spokesman. God changed his plan because Moses kept arguing with him. But what I want you to get out of that is God, that Moses did not believe what God was saying. He had a problem. He had a fundamental problem that he did not take God's word for the power that it was. He wanted to change it. He wanted to rearrange it. He didn't think it was for him. He really thought it was for somebody else because he actually told God, why don't you find somebody else? And that's when God got mad at him. So then you fast forward, you know, he and Aaron go to Pharaoh. He and Aaron, they do what they got to do. The Israelites leave, the Red Sea, all of that. You know, we sort of get through this place. And we get to Numbers chapter 20. And God says to Moses, oh, first of all, there's no water. They've been traveling. They're in the desert. There's no water. And the people are angry. They are mad. They're saying, why did you do this to us, Moses? You brought us out here so that we would die. Our animals would die. Every single person is going to die. We have nothing to drink. What's wrong with you, Moses? And it says that Moses and Aaron get on their face before the Lord. God, what are we going to do? They don't have any water. They're mad at us. And Moses, and God says, speak to the rock, Moses. See this rock? Speak to it. And command that water would come out of it. Now we're going to, in our mind, we're going to go all the way back to Exodus chapter 4 when God says, you, Moses, you go. And Moses says, no, not me. Remember, he didn't believe God. He didn't believe what God was saying. And what God was saying to Moses is the equivalent of what God is saying to you through this Bible. So in Numbers chapter 20, Moses, he stands up. God told him to speak to the rock. He's mad at the people. And he says, hear now, you rebels. God is going to provide water for you today. And he takes his rod. And remember, God told him to speak to the rock, and he strikes it twice. And the water flows out, and everybody drinks. But God says to Moses, he pulls him off to the side, and he says, because you disobeyed me, you will not fulfill the plan I have for you. Moses had a fundamental problem that he did not put a premium when God said the first thing that he said to him, he did not put a premium on this. Now, he didn't have this, but he had a burning bush. And he didn't believe the power. He did not believe the power that was coming out of God's mouth to him. And so many chapters later and many years later, he disobeys because he doesn't believe when God tells him to speak to the rock. And there are people here today who don't believe in the power of this word. It's not that you mean to not. You don't mean to. But you just don't understand what it can do in your life. 2 Peter chapter 1 calls it the more sure word of prophecy. It is the more sure word of prophecy. And we need to obey it in the way as if we had a burning bush standing in front of us and God was speaking to us directly. And I want to encourage, I want to challenge, I want to beg you to change your mentality about the Bible and about its importance in your life. Because God wants to speak to you through it. He spoke to Elijah in the rock. There was the fire and the wind, and then there was the still small voice. Elijah was in the rock, right? And he does speak to us through the Holy Spirit to spirit, deep crying out to deep in our spirits. But if you need an answer in your life, we don't have to wait always on the still small voice because the answer is found in the Word of God. Will you put a premium on this living and powerful document that transforms minds, Romans chapter 12, and lives? Will you? I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Carl. Father, I just thank you for this congregation. God, I thank you for this group of people that are here, Father, with their hearts submitted, their lives submitted to you. Father, may this word be revelation to them that will require change in their life. Father, may they act on what you have called them to act on. Father, may they do and accomplish the exploits that you have set before them. Father, we remember to give all glory and honor to your precious name. We are so grateful that it is the name above every name. And we glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Can you receive the word of God today? Come on, honor. Honor Pastor Melissa. Come on, stand to your feet, give her some honor. Lord, we receive your word today. We receive your word today, Jesus. We receive your word today, Jesus.